It's Thursday, March 14th, 2013. You're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast about retro video games, and sometimes some other things. You're listening to Episode 5, Double the Action, Double the Fun, Double Dragon. Running time for this episode is about 30 minutes.
Double Dragon time! I'm Tyler.
I'm Jeremy.
And it's Last Time on Video Games, and we're doing a Double Dragon 2 comparison thing.
Yeah, we lied to you last episode.
Yeah.
Double Dragon totally isn't co-op. So we played it, said, oh, this game is dumb, and then played Double Dragon 2, and spoilers, said, this game is dumb, let's do a podcast.
So here we are, fresh out of my basement, and getting ready to talk about Double Dragon. So, really quickly, a plot synopsis, because Double Dragon has a plot, apparently. The first game, your girlfriend is kidnapped by some thugs, so you have to go fight the thugs in the city and rescue her. In the second game, they say, screw that, and just kill her, and so you're out for revenge.
That's aptly named Double Dragon 2, The Revenge.
Of Cooler. Because he's cooler than Freezer.
That would have been way cooler.
You're ice cold.
Now we're stealing jokes from Team 4 Star.
Because we're not above that either.
So, Ego Raptor, go join Team 4 Star and class action suit us. Ego Star.
I like 4 Raptors. That's just because it gives you more Raptors. So.
It does. The other WoW quest I was doing today was one where I had to go find 5 baby Raptors. And you find them and return them to their mother by attaching them to your face. Like, there is one or more Raptors trying to eat your face is the debuff you have.
Because trying to eat your face is fairly effective.
You don't take any damage from it, surprisingly.
What
you can't stealth.
Oh. Because you're constantly going, oh, there's a raptor on my face!
No, you can stealth, but if you do, all the raptors fall off, and you have to get them again.
You're so good at hiding, the raptors fall off.
Yes.
Double Dragon has... Double Dragon is a game.
Yeah.
Punch things.
It's a beat-em-up. I've been told it's the classic one.
I've never been a huge fan of beat-em-ups, to be honest.
Really?
I love 2D fighters, and I am okay with 3D fighters, but I've never really liked beat-em-ups that much.
They're like the perfect co-op game, I think, because you don't have to pay any attention to them. They still provide you with great material for lampooning.
That is true. I definitely had a lot. I don't think I've ever really played a beat-em-up co-op before, really.
Did you not play Scott Pilgrim with us?
I did for a while. I guess I've just never, I don't know.
Spoiler alert, go buy Scott Pilgrim the game. It is best game.
It is better than this game, at the very least.
4-player co-op beat-em-up based on Scott Pilgrim. Also Hadouken's.
So, Double Dragon has this, like, kind of awkward experience leveling system.
I don't find it awkward. It's a little rudimentary.
It is awkward for it to be in a beat-em-up for me, because...
Scott Pilgrim, best game ever.
Does it do that, too?
Yeah. It has a level-up system. You get moves as the higher level you get, the more moves you get. Which, especially on a 2-button controller, I really like, because it gates the moves, and you only have to learn one at a time.
Well, that is true.
I actually really like that system.
It was definitely interesting. I guess I wasn't expecting it more than anything.
Well, neither was I, but I like how there are ways to attack enemies and defeat them faster, like dropping them down pits and such, but you get experience based on how many times you hit, not how much damage you do. So there's incentive to use
your weakest attack over and over and over, which is just punching them in the face.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe kicking them? I think kicking
no,
them.
Punching them is the weak one. Kicking one does a little more. But yeah, you have 2 buttons. One punches, one kicks, both jump.
So, and you can do other things like grappling your opponents as you gain levels. You can actually attack downed opponents, which is fun. And jump kicking is pretty much the optimal strategy for every boss.
Except some of them duck it. Can't be hit by it.
You can do it if you're close enough, though.
Yeah, I was much better at it than you.
And that's, I don't know, it's not co-op, and I feel like it loses a lot.
It's also only 4 levels, but we could only get through 3.5.
Yep. So. Yeah, we didn't finish either of these games because,
They just get boring quick. It's so repetitive. You go in, you punch, you walk the next dude, you punch. And a lot of the bosses, especially, you can't hit stun them, and they have longer range than you. So you're just pressing the button, hoping they die first. There's probably a little more strategy than that if we cared to find it, but the game just wasn't attention-grabbing enough to put that much thought into.
Indeed. And then there was Double Dragon 2, which definitely, I felt like, even though it didn't have the leveling system, was actually a bit more complex in the way you could control.
I missed the leveling system, but...
I would have liked it in both, but...
But you start with all your moves up front, which makes them a little harder to learn. They're not gated as well, because you start with all of them, obviously.
So they're not gated at all. Really, the gate is wide open, and it comes flooding at you in a torrent of two
orcs.
Buttons. 8,063 orcs, to be exact.
Yeah.
The awkward thing about Double Dragon 2 is that the direction you're attacking determines which button you need to press in order to do the attack you want.
Yeah, you have a back kick and a punch that you punch forward, which easy breezy, right? But A, which is the button on the left, always attacks enemies on the left. So if you're facing forward, it's the front punch. And if you're facing right, it's the back. And what the hell?
It gets disorienting is the problem. Because you're in the middle of a fight, and we're, at the very least, we seem to be habituated to have one button do one thing and another button do another thing. And it just does it in the direction you're facing. It's convenient to be able to attack behind you, but it's not super practical when you're in the middle of smashing some guy's face in.
Especially when the buttons change. Arkham Asylum, you could attack people behind you, but it was always wide.
Yeah.
Oh, Double Dragon 1 had a back attack too, but it was back in the attack button, and that was fine.
Yeah, that actually makes some sense. In this one, you're in the middle of bashing some guy's face in, and then you turn around to go mash the other guy's face in, and keep pressing the same button, and suddenly you're attacking the dead corpse behind you, and you're like, what? I don't care about you, corpse. However, the optimal strategy in this one is Super Rising Knee Kick.
That's not the optimal strategy at all. It just amused you.
No, it does a lot of damage, though, and it defeats most bosses in two hits.
True.
The problem is it's damn near impossible to pull off reliably, because you have to jump, and then at some indeterminate point after you land, press the A and B button simultaneously, and then you can super fly knee kick.
Yeah.
Super flying knee kick!
But Double Dragon 2 is unquestionably better, even though it's missing the experience system and has terrible controls, because it's two-player co-op simultaneously.
Also, the bosses seem a little more fair, because they take stun.
They take stun, and there's a lot more opportunity to knock them off cliffs.
Which happens a lot.
And there's no disincentive for doing so, other than your friend on the couch calling you a wimp.
Which never happened, because we were trying very hard to knock everyone off a cliff.
Yeah.
Mostly because I found it amusing, but there's one level, actually, you're like on an awkward skyscraper thing, and there's a helicopter that comes at you, and a bunch of dudes get out of the helicopter, and by the time we played through this, I think our fourth time, as soon as I got out of the helicopter, we just jump-kicked everyone off the edge, and wash, rinse, repeat, and it's fun.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to talk about levels for this one, because pretty much all the levels are exactly the same in both of them.
Move direction, hit dude.
Yeah, dudes have more health as you go on. They have weapons. I guess we didn't talk about weapons.
Oh yeah, that's something that happens in both Double Dragons, which I think was kind of its gimmick at the time. Although I feel like every brawler does it, so maybe not.
You can pick up weapons that your enemies drop and keep them for as long as those enemies are still on screen.
Yeah. One mildly disappointing thing is that as soon as the enemy group that was carrying the weapon is off screen, I'm not sure if this is intentional or not, but their data gets unloaded and you no longer have the weapon associated with them.
I assume by the second one, at least it's intentional.
Indeed. So you get, like, what, knives?
Knives, baseball bats.
Whips.
Baseball bats with knives attached to them.
I really like in the first game the giant foam-looking bats. And you're just, it's like twice the size of your head, and you're just going, whoop. They have an awkward amount of platforming in them for being brawlers, and I feel like that really
hinders the first one them. Barely has any platforming in it at all. It's the second one that's the case in. There's a lot of, like, weird, awkward jumps. And since A and B at the same time is jump, and like Castlevania, you're married to your jump arcs as soon as you take off, it's not good.
The monogamy of jump arcs. So does that mean when you're playing Mega Man and you can control your jump anywhere, does that mean you're sleeping around with other jumps?
It just means why buy the cow when you can get the jumps for free? I don't know where that was going.
Because analogies, we're good at them. There are bosses in both of them. The bosses become recurring enemies later.
Yeah, so. Also it's the same bosses. A Bobo is his name. He's Mr. T, basically. He punches you. He suplexes you sometimes.
He is giant. His head is like the size of his entire torso. So that said, basically our impressions of these games were that they aren't very good, but that co-op adds really a lot to the gameplay
experience. I think we should talk about what multiplayer adds to games so that we can have a podcast instead of 10 minutes about us talking about two games.
Oh, that's sad that there's so little in it. Oh! There was this awesome part when we were playing the first one, though. Okay, so the music in the first game, it ranges from okay to terrible.
Mostly ranging towards the latter. Especially the more levels go on, the worse the music gets.
But there's this one level in, like, a forest, and it's all, like, kind of... The forest itself is kind of purplish, and the music seems like three different disjointed songs, which in themselves are terribly atonal and disjointed. But we started playing the level, and I'm like, oh my god, it's the Lost Woods! I wonder where the Master Sword is. And then immediately some guy walks in from the right side of the screen carrying a dagger. I'm like, oh, that's a Master Sword. Why is he throwing it at me? I found that rather amusing. So,
well, what I found really amusing is the story of the second game.
Where he just kills your girlfriend.
G-R-A-S-P.
Oh, yeah.
And if you haven't played the game, which I think don't think I can recommend, there are cutscenes between levels. By cutscenes, I mean a page of text with a picture.
So, the, you know, old-style cutscenes.
There's one level where at the end you fight a helicopter. And at the end of the helicopter, the main character's like, you can't get away, quick! G-R-A-S-P!
It's got periods between it and everything. It's Great Raspberry Apple Super Pie! So, yeah, where were we? Talking about the potentiality of co-op in games and how it's awesome?
Hell yeah. First, I think we should say I can't really recommend Double Dragon or Double Dragon 2 to anyone. There are better beat-em-ups, like Scott Pilgrim, for about the same price. It's kind of a dying genre now, and playing some of the originals, I can kind of see why.
I give it a theta out of purple.
I think I put it below ActRaiser. Don't I put everything below ActRaiser now?
Well, what have we played since ActRaiser?
Sonic, which I put above Heart. Yeah, Harvest Moon. I have to put it below Harvest Moon, too, because while Harvest Moon is boring, it held my attention a lot longer. I think we played these two games together for a total of 4 hours.
Yeah, and I think we spent substantially longer on the first one because we're damn determined to beat it, but it just never happened.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Double Dragon and Double Dragon 2. They're games. They're okay. They're mildly amusing, if only because they're so bad.
They're not so bad. They're just, they don't hold your attention. I have the same problem I have with them as I have with Kirby's Adventure, only kind of the opposite. Kirby's Adventure, I was an autopilot practically falling asleep because it was so easy. This is just so hard, I don't care. And it's not even that hard. It's really, really easy. It's just monotonous. It's go, punch dude, punch dude, punch dude. I mean, I want high school jocks to make fun of me for playing this game.
Well, the vast majority of how we died in the second was just falling off of...
Well, yes, carelessness.
Not even carelessness. Occasionally we'll get caught by a stray head and get knocked off of a ledge, but...
Yeah, and...
Mostly carelessness.
And a lot of poor platforming, especially towards the end. It's like, okay, this is a Mario game now, where there are disappearing platforms, and you instantly die if you miss them.
Yeah, so if you guys played Mega Man, you know those, like, disappearing timed platforms?
Imagine there are death spikes between them, and you have to press two buttons to jump, and you jump Castlevania style.
Because that's exactly what's going on.
And you don't have a whip, although there are no goddamn bats or Medusa heads flying into you.
Although there are fire blobs falling from candles on the ceiling,
yeah, only at the beginning of that level, though.
Oh, that is true. They don't come in later, where it would be substantially more inconvenient.
I wish we had some listener mail so we could talk about this game a little more in depth.
Yeah.
So send us some listener mail if you want us to come back to this. Jeremy@lasttimeatvideogames.com with a G, or Tyler@lasttimeatvideogames.com.
Because I like mail, too.
Of course you like mails. That's why you're the married one, right?
That's why I'm monogamous.
So, co-op and multiplayer in games, and what it adds.
A lot. Humans, being a social primate, have this kind of inborn sense of community. Well, the multiplayer itself is kind of a two-headed beast, because you have co-op and you have competitive. And I
then
really
you
think...
have griefing, between.
You have Ed. So I have a friend, Ed, who is now living in Germany, and every time he plays any game with me, his strategy is make sure I don't win. Not that he wins, or that someone else doesn't win, or anything in between, it's just me, specifically. He doesn't want me to win. I played Left 4 Dead 2 with him once, and all he did was throw Molotovs at me.
Yes.
So, you got games like Double Dragon, where it's co-op, basically.
Yeah, well, what I can't say about Double Dragon, but what then is NES games cost? $20? I guess that doesn't seem like a ripoff, but for $5, it was, you know, a decent way for us to talk and make jokes together for a couple hours. We almost certainly could have found something better.
So, yeah, what were we talking... Oh, yeah, the fact that Double Dragon was amusing for a while.
Not as good as Scott Pilgrim. That's the theme of this episode. Yeah, this game doesn't hold up at all.
So if you want to try an interesting experience with leveling in a brawler, there's The Bouncer. That was a game. It was okay. You got experience points for beating up dudes, and then you get to buy new moves.
Well, just play any of the number of free MMOs if you want a game where you level up. WoW is free for the first 20 levels. DCUO is free. Star Wars The Old Republic is kind of sort of hemi-free. They charge you for action bars to put your abilities on. But
so, multiplayer in games is ostensibly the theme of what we're talking about here. Do we want to talk about it from the co-op versus competitive approach?
I think we should. We should distinguish those from one another first. Why cooperative is fun and why competitive is fun.
So, personally, I'm a bigger fan of competition than cooperation, but
I am if I can't see the person I'm competing. For PC games, League of Legends, StarCraft 2, I play like it's a sport, not like it's a video game. Civ 4, I will beat you dirty when we're, you know, miles away, but if I was next to you, I would be, like, sending you dudes and be like, here, have an axe, mans.
So that's really good, because, like, when I play Heroes with people, I'm all, like, super cooperative, even if they're not on my team, as long as they're a human.
See, I was trying to be that with you in our first Civ game, but you wanted to be a little more antagonistic.
Well, I thought I was winning, and turns out I wasn't. So.
You saw my army, and you were like, oh, whoa.
I don't have one of those. Dudes.
Your dudes could, like, kill all of my dudes.
Because I only had five, and you had, like, dozens left over from previous tech eras. I don't know, I really enjoy competition. Not necessarily winning or losing, but I like pitting myself against other people. I don't know why. Well, I do, but that's a whole other rant. But
well, we're men. We have to fight. And sometimes we fight by clicking mice and sending little dudes after each other. Also, it sort of brings out not the best in people, but people will try harder if they feel something's on the line.
Definitely.
Even if it's just petty pride.
Even in work, I do best if I have someone I can think of as a rival, even if they're either way better or way worse or not even really in the same field as me, so.
Yeah, cooperative games are a different story, because co-op Minecraft be some fun shit, yo.
It is. Well, Minecraft's a whole nother beast, because it's actually like six games in one, so.
Yeah, at least, but I was thinking of a game that I played co-op almost exclusively. And that's one. Minecraft is literally a game about building together, and you can totally grief people in Minecraft. I've done it before.
Ah, yeah, you can.
Have I told you the story about when me and my brother and a couple of his friends were playing Minecraft on the 360, and I built a railroad that went over their house to dump lava from the railroad?
No, that sounds amazing.
Also, they were down in their mine, so they came up to a burning house.
Because you're a nice guy.
Normally I'm nice. They, like, killed me or something. They'd been a dick first, but I was a super dick back.
I like the hidden TNT strategy, where if they have, like, a switch or something to open a door or something like that.
Anvils are the best for that.
Anvils?
They added anvils into the game, so.
So you can drop them on people? as if it wasn't cartoony enough.
Or drop them into an obsidian pit that has lava all surrounding it, so even if they have a pickaxe of the appropriate type.
It'll take them forever to get out.
Into lava.
Oh. Touché, sir.
But that's competitive.
Yeah. So there's something fun about working with a team, and as a species, I really think that what the best things we do happen when we work together as a group. And we have societies, which are an incredibly complex construct, and they work somehow. And I feel like cooperation in games is a microcosm of a society, or mini-culture.
I think also sometimes you're tired of your friend kicking your ass, and you want to team up with him to kick someone else's ass.
Go team. Well, that's like playing with Zach.
I knew you were going to go there. That wasn't what I was thinking. But yeah, we do pretty well when we're Team Venture.
Well, playing against him, it's terrible. But when we're playing with him, we're basically unbeatable. So
send challenge emails the last time on videogames.com.
Well, yeah, but we didn't say what we were playing, so it's going to have to be a really vague challenge.
Okay. What's Zach's greatest weakness in competitive video games?
His biggest weakness in competitive video games is that he's
probably 2D fighters.
Oh, you mean in terms of what genre?
Yeah,
no, that's probably it.
I guess he can Deadpool beam spam.
Well, yeah, but anyone can. It's pretty easy to get past that once you know he does it.
Hulk smash him.
Unfortunately, turtling is not a very effective strategy in 2D fighters. So
no,
that's the innate response to massive projectiles. So
don't go jump in a turtle shell. You'll be fine.
Koopa Coop.
Also, cooperative video games can be purely a social experience as well. You know, some people play WoW because it's a bowling alley. Sure, there are monsters there we're shooting fireballs at, but really it's about chatting with your guild or your friends or whatever.
That's very true. One game I wanted to play but haven't yet is Journey, which sounds pretty awesome.
I've heard a little bit about it, but
so it's basically a platformer. You're going to a place, basically, and that's really the plot, is you're going somewhere. But along the way, you if you're playing online, which I think you might have to be, you find other random people who happen to be playing at the same time. And so you'll join together in a party for a little while, and you help each other do things. And it's easier if you have a partner, but after a while, they'll go their own separate way, and then you're alone again.
Hmm.
And you just randomly run into these people, and there's no mode of communication other than by jumping and moving. So
actually, it sounds a little bit like DayZ.
Indeed.
Although, from what I hear, people are just assholes and shoot you.
I was nice to the... I've met three people... No, four. Four people, because there's one that was in a group with another guy.
Four people.
Four!
Man, what would Simon Belmont be on Sesame Street?
I think he's the Grouch. Or possibly Omo. Big Bird with holy crosses.
Yes, I play that game.
So, one guy I met in DayZ was the first time I ever managed to get a gun. And I was walking through a field towards a military facility and had just evaded a large group of zombies. And was basically, I decided I didn't have enough ammunition to take on this military facility and was walking back to the truck I had parked out in the middle of a field. And this guy comes running past me, and I heard horror stories about the terrible things that happened in this game. So I stopped there and like, okay, I'm getting ready to do something, I'm not sure what, and he just runs by me. And then all these zombies come out over the horizon, just like...
The grief train.
So I'm like, okay, well, that's enough of that. So I walk off to the side and just let them all pass and run after him. So he died a horrible death. I had like three shotgun shells. I'm like, is it really worth trying to save this guy for three shotgun shells?
It's like that part in Walking Dead. You should play The Walking Dead.
I've heard it's good. So another time I was like scoping out a facility and I saw these other two guys also scoping out the facility and they went and charged it before I did and they died. So there's that. And the other time someone just watched me die, so... I always have a really hard time telling whether or not someone's a zombie from a distance.
Are you a zombie? Brains.
Sounds good. You want my can of beans?
Brains.
Do you have the Arma 2 mod?
No, I don't have Arma 2.
But yeah, I bought it specifically for DayZ. So.
Yeah, I thought about it. I bought something else instead, but I don't remember what now.
It's a lot of fun, but as with most games, I think it would be better if there was other people playing in it.
Yeah.
Which is, you know... Co-op.
That's why you should play League of Legends with me. Okay, if you don't want to.
I might. I just feel like it's going to be such a time sink if I do.
Well, it could be, but I don't have that much time to sink.
Fair enough. So yeah, playing with other people in video games is fun because it adds community of some sort.
Well, yeah, it makes you feel like you're doing something with your pal. Because you are.
And because humans generally like other humans, and if you're not, then you're... Well, okay.
You're a Doctor Who villain?
Yeah. I like individuals. I hate humanity. I'm a philanthropic misanthrope.
good forum title.
The philanthropic misanthrope.
So let's go back to Double Dragon. Co-op made it better. What else could make the game better? Just a depth of strategy, I think.
Not something attacking behind punching. You.
Well, there's that. That's simple. The game ultimately fails because the combat isn't compelling.
No, it's definitely important. And I feel like leveling up in the second one would have also helped.
It would have. It would have made dying a little, sting a little more. I guess another thing we never even touched on is there are no continues in either game. You die, you've got three lives, but you die three times, you start from the beginning of the game.
Quite. What did Arkham Asylum, which is basically a 3D brawler, when you get into a fight?
Well, first, it's got the advantage of your Batman. Instantly, this game wins. Instantly. But they really... captured Batman's fighting style from the comics, the animated series, and the Nolan movies, and mixed it up with some sort of semi-realistic moves. One thing is X's punch, but he's got like 30 or 40 different punches, depending on context and, you know, what you've done lately. I guess context.
So would contextual attacks help?
A little bit. I think graphically it's really impressive, and so that helps, but that doesn't help in an NES game. Another thing is the kineticism of Arkham Asylum. You hit X when you're far away from an enemy, you leap towards them to continue your fight and combo.
In Arkham Asylum, there was like the challenge mode where you had to beat a number of guys or something. I forget what it was about it. I had to go through.
You need a certain score.
I had to go through and gold medal all of them, though, so that tells people something about my OCD.
I did that, too, but that tells people something about how much Batman is the best. I say a lot of things are the best. I have a Batman coffee mug. I have Batman pajamas.
Batman socks.
I've got Batman socks with capes on them.
You have a bat flask?
I have a bat flask. Thank you.
But Arkham Asylum feels like you're never not moving when you're in the middle of a fight, and it feels really cool.
It also has a lot more skill because there's a projectile involved that you can use, and there's the counter, which is super simple. You just hit Y when a button flashes. But it adds a certain amount of skill because you can't do that if you're in the middle of attack, so it adds some timing and some flow. It just feels a lot better.
And I feel like that's something that a lot of brawlers are missing, is they're just not complex enough. It's you hit things in the face until they yield to you. Whereas better implemented games will have variety of ways to beat things in the face or to prevent things from beating you in the face while you're in the middle of beating things in the face. That's, even Assassin's Creed did that better than Double Dragon. Granted, Double Dragon was made like 20 years ago.
I was going to say, we're comparing a game from 1988 to games from 2010.
I'm not saying it's necessarily its fault, I just feel that we have improved on it since then.
And I think that's the ultimate reason why we think this game is so poor. It just doesn't measure up to stuff that's come since at all.
No, not really. Moving faster would help.
A little bit, but even then you've still got like little screens where you just fight enemies and you just punch them. And then they fall down.
Yep, and that's really all you can do. And if you happen to get unlucky and they interrupt your punches, there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, and that's just really dissatisfying. I mean, maybe there's some strategy. If you're a Double Dragon pro, email us and tell us we're wrong. We're not desperate for your email, we promise.
As of the recording of this, we also haven't published an episode, so...
No, hopefully the first episode will be going live shortly after we finish recording this.
Woo!
We'll see.
Which is going to be really awkward, because this may be as far as, like, the fifth one when you're actually hearing it, so...
Well, we'll see.
I don't know.
There might be some podcast magic involved. We are wizards, by the way.
Yeah.
Pod wizards.
Pod wizards. I clone myself routinely.
If we have another podcast, then our podcast network should be called Pod Wizards.
That would be awesome.
I call Pod Gandalf.
I don't even really know any other wizards.
Pod Vivi. Pod Lulu.
Oh.
Pod Twilight Sparkle. She's a wizard, right? Basically.
Close enough.
Pod Saruman. Clearly you're the evil one, right?
Smells like about the spirits.
We might be grasping at straws for this.
Like, you mean grasping at straws?
I-N-G. I-N-G.
Oh, do you have to spell it out?
You do.
So yeah, Double Dragon. It was a game. It wasn't very good. It seems like we don't really get to talk a whole lot about not very good games, because the reason they're not good is because they have no depth.
We talked about ActRaiser for a bit, and that had almost too much depth, you could argue, though.
That is true.
And Sonic we talked about a while, but that wasn't really a bad game. It was just a game we didn't like.
Yeah. Well, it was we didn't like it because it wasn't a very good game.
I think it, like I said back in the day, when we recorded that episode aeons ago, you know, presents itself about being fast, but it's about being careful. And they're contradictory.
Indeed. The obstacles are not well tailored to the player. But
no.
That's actually really the problem with the platforming portion of
Double Dragon, you're right.
And ActRaiser, and really a lot of the games that we've had issues with. Harvest Moon, the obstacles are not tailored to the player's abilities.
There are no obstacles in Harvest Moon.
Exactly. And you can do everything. So, yeah, next time on Last Time.
It's your choice, and you should pick something deep so we have something to talk about.
Yeah, and I've been kind of waffling about this for a while, and I think we narrowed it down to Final Fantasy and Shining Force.
I've never played Shining Force.
And I've never played either. And
well, I've only played Final Fantasy for like 10 minutes, but I played Final Fantasy 2 for like 2 minutes. Final Fantasy 3/6 for like 10 hours. Not enough to beat it, but enough to get to where the world blows up.
Spoilers, the world blows up.
Final Fantasy 8 for a couple hours, 9 for more hours than I needed to.
You played 7?
A little bit.
You never beat 7?
No.
Oh, okay,
I didn't like the combat system felt too old to me. But I love 10. Don't 10. Get 10 is great awesomeness.
It is.
And I got far further into 10-2 than I'm willing to admit.
I find 10-2 amusing. That's...
You like Charlie's Angels, and...
Well, okay, the story is crap, but it's fun, it's light, and it's happy, which is a huge departure from Final Fantasy, so...
I feel like there are light, happy Final Fantasy games.
The leveling system is cool, too.
So. Yeah, but it's no Final Fantasy Tactics.
That is true, and I've never played Tactics.
Get on that, kid.
I know. So, I think we should play Disgaea, and by that, Final Fantasy.
I've never played Disgaea.
It's pretty cool.
I want to. It's...
The sequels are better.
That, Persona, and...
Persona's good.
I've kind of played Nocturne. You know, playing Nocturne is like beating your head against a super solid oak tree, so I've done that.
My experience is more like Redwood.
Mm-hmm.
The bark occasionally gives, and then you get to something slightly firmer.
You never get beat Matador, though. I thought you said.
No, actually, yeah, you're right. I never got past Matador. So
see,
never
I get
mind.
The red and blue ogre. If you've never played Nocturne, that's way further than Matador. Matador is the first real boss.
Yeah, he's a bitch.
He screws you silly.
With a rapier.
Good instrument for that.
Phallus. We don't have to edit phallus, right?
No, phallus is perfectly valid.
That's right, kids. Valid phallus. So, next time on Last Time...
Final Fantasy!
We're going to white mage up in here.
No white mage, red mage. Go with the classic 8-bit theater cast. Or, you know, black belt, white mage, double red mage. All red mage. What? Communist Party. Yes, I'm going all red mages. Stalin, Joseph. Those names won't fit. Damn it.
So next time on Last Time, apparently communism. Featuring Karl Marx.
This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games. Copyright 2013. Fully owned by its hosts. The games, movies, and other media mentioned in this podcast are owned by their respective owners. Obviously. Theme songs by me. You can find more episodes and other useful things at lasthomeonvideogames.com. If you'd like to email us, you can do so at ltovg@lasthomeonvideogames.com. If you'd like to talk to a specific host, Tyler, that's me, can be reached at tyler@lasthomeonvideogames.com, and Jeremy can be reached at jeremy@lasthomeonvideogames.com. This product was tested on animals. My cat did not approve.
Did you see those videos of Princess Luna playing Mario and then Celestia is there and the sun comes down? And then there's one of Celestia playing Majora's Mask.
That's awesome. Kirby agrees.